name. For the Lord will not hold him guiltless that taketh his name in vain. So there are two things that this commandment that we've got to know if we're going to keep this commandment. And what are they? I mean, they're there in the suggested, obviously named in the question, in the commandment. So what do you have to know if you're going to keep this commandment? What's the first thing? The name. What do we mean by the name of the Lord? Right? What is encompassed in that term? If you don't know that, then you don't know if you're keeping the commandment. You might keep the commandment. Maybe you will, maybe you won't. But if you don't know what is meant by the name of the Lord, then you're going to be lacking in the ability to consciously, anyway, fulfill this commandment. And what's the other thing? What do we have to know if we're going to keep this commandment? We have to know about what the name of the Lord means, and what other word here do we have to understand? Vain. What do we mean by vain? Vain, to do something vainly, is irreverent. All right? And we'll get into what's meant by it, but generally speaking, it's to show less respect than is otherwise due. You can, if something's vain, it can be empty. So there are a lot of implications from the word as well. But we have to know those two things in order to keep the commandment. Now, and I must confess, I've had a bit of a hard time getting my arms around this thing to know how to approach it in teaching it. Because in some respects, this commandment is like the others. It's kind of clear cut. You aren't to do this. And here are these terms, and we all probably have a pretty good understanding of what these terms mean, what's suggested by them. But the last thing we can do with this commandment is to approach it academically. You could know this commandment backwards and forwards. You could repeat it in the Hebrew and miss out on it altogether, because there is so much embodied here, and how it impacts you is going to be different than how it impacts me. Because we are all going to come, as it were, to the name of God at different levels, if I can put it that way. The reverence that you understand you are showing may be different than what I would hold myself to. This is a very personal commandment, because it only you can fulfill it as to yourself. Now, you can help others, and you could correct others, but it's directed at our own heart. And as we go through this, I hope we'll see some of what is in this commandment, why it's there. Stop to think, you know. We can kind of understand the first commandment, very important. We understand the second commandment, the object of our worship in the first, how we worship in the second. So why did God give this commandment? And keep in mind, he gave it to his people. He didn't give this to the ungodly. They're bound by it. As they break it, they will be judged for breaking it. But he gave this commandment to his people, a redeemed people, a chosen people. So why would that people, Why did the nation of Israel need this commandment? Why do you and I need this commandment? And we'll talk about that a little bit more toward the end of the class. All right. And I just was thinking, we've been through, obviously, 19 chapters of the confession. Now, of those chapters, as it relates to this commandment, if you think back, if you've got your notebook, you can look at your table of contents at the beginning. But which chapter do you think would bear more on this question? Or at least my thinking that way. You may think differently, but which chapter would bear more on our understanding this commandment and getting a feel for what the Lord's intending for us to appreciate? About chapter 2. Chapter 2 deals with the subject of God and the Holy Trinity. Right? And I want to just take a minute and read a couple of those paragraphs. I know you can read, and I hate to, in one sense, take the time to do that, but I think it goes a long ways toward reminding us of who and what this commandment is dealing with. So in paragraph 2.1, and kind of as I read, just kind of think about the name. This is all related to the name of the Lord thy God. 2.1 says, "There is but one only living and true God, who is infinite in being and perfection, a most pure spirit, invisible, without body, parts, or passions, immutable, immense, eternal, incomprehensible, almighty, most wise, most holy, most free, most absolute, working all things according to the counsel of his own immutable and most righteous will for his own glory. Most loving, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. The rewarder of them that diligently seek him, and withal most just and terrible in his judgments, hating all sin, including the breaking of the third commandment, and who will by no means clear the guilty." The third commandment part I inserted. And then paragraph 2 of that chapter. "God hath all life, glory, goodness, blessedness in and of himself, and is alone in and unto himself all sufficient, not standing in need of any creatures which he hath made, not deriving any glory from them, but only manifesting his own glory in, by, unto, and upon them. He is the alone fountain of all being, of whom, through whom, and to whom are all things, and hath most sovereign dominion over them, to do by them, for them, or upon them, whatsoever himself pleaseth. In his sight, all things are open and manifest. He knows, he sees, when we take his name in vain. His knowledge is infinite, infallible, and independent upon the creature, so as nothing is to himself, is to him contingent or uncertain. He is most holy in all his counsels, in all his works, and in all his commands. To him is due from angels and men and every other creature, whatsoever worship, service, or obedience he is pleased to require of them. Right? Now it's with that backdrop that we look at this third commandment. That's whose name we're not to take in vain in any respect. None whatsoever. Which gets to be hard. If you look at, I think it was Williamson's book on the commandments and on the catechism, larger catechism. Some of the things that he brings out, some of the terms that we might use. One that I caught myself, the term, I'm very guilty of saying, oh, good grief. Williamson points out that term has reference to the grief of Christ in the garden. Because I've often caught myself thinking, what's good about grief? It is very commonplace this day and age to take God's name in vain. You see the letters, the OMG, obviously, blasphemy. People use terms that call out, as it were, God to damn people. Maybe even themselves as they use the term. Just so many things that where it happens. And so it obviously, again, causes us, well, again, I think I'll hold that thought for a minute because it ties into what I want to say toward the end. All right. Now, if we consider the relationship between the first three commandments, right? The first commandment, no other gods before me. So how does the third commandment and the first commandment tie together? If we are taking the Lord's name in vain, how does that relate to the first commandment? Or does it? What do you think? Now, we certainly, if we feel like we can take his name in vain, we certainly have elevated ourselves, haven't we? To think that we are in such a position that we can make light of God's name. And we'll see attributes and things, the jokes, and I was thinking about this. You know, the jokes about someone arriving at the gates of heaven and whatever it may be. Violation of this commandment. And you stop and say, well, wait a minute now. If I take this commandment to its fullest extent, can I even enjoy any humor? Well, yes, you can enjoy humor because God is not capable of sin and God laughs. All right? We know that. So there's a place. There's a place. It's just what we're using for the humor that we have to be careful about, as with the other things. So we place ourselves, our pleasure, our enjoyment, whatever, even the matter of humor. This joke, whatever. And we want to do that. What about the second commandment? What about making a graven image? Now, again, as we talked about it, the second commandment is aimed predominantly at worshiping the true God the wrong way, right? Making graven images. Now, it could obviously also include making a graven image and worshiping a false god. We are not to do that. But if we are considering even worshiping of God, then is not the making of the idol, whatever that idol is not the making of the idol taking God's name in vain? For God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. That object is none of those. Right? Whatever that object is, it's not going to be any of those. So we maybe start seeing here a relationship, hopefully, between the first two, and if we understand and appreciate the first two, then as we come to the third commandment, we're going to be more alert. We're going to be more concerned with appreciating what is a name of God and how we're using it. Because that's what the third commandment's all about. And as we go through the third, then just keep the first two in mind, kind of in the back of your head. Okay. So the scripture verse maybe we're looking at, how do the first two commandments tie in here? Because I will tell you this, I don't think there is any way you can keep the third commandment without keeping the first two. So if you could keep the first two perfectly, I think you would probably keep the third perfectly. But you'll never keep the third without an understanding and appreciation of the first two. Because you won't have sufficient knowledge and appreciation for the names of God. Catechism question. What do the scriptures principally teach? The scriptures principally teach what we are to believe what? Concerning God. All right? Third commandment. The scriptures teach us what we're to know about God. He has revealed himself to us in the scriptures. So we must know the Word of God and how God has revealed himself, what he's taught us about himself, in order to understand and to appreciate and to obey, to keep the third commandment. Okay? All right. Anybody got any thoughts, comments before we? All right, because we're gonna. I don't know that our study of this commandment is going to take a long time, because there is a. Again, there's such a personal aspect to it that I can't teach. I can't touch on that. You've got to deal with that yourself. Somebody have a comment? Paul, do you have?
Well, I think the word vain means take thoughtlessly, not ascribing proper worth to the second commandment. Any sort of thoughtless worship would be.
Yeah, vain. Sure. Sure. I mean, yeah. I mean, you stop and think. That's why I was looking at these, and. At this commandment, and I backed up and said, okay, let me just Let me just see where we've been and how this one fits into those two, or how they fit in with this one. And you stop and realize that, well, the third, the way I looked at it, the first gives me the object of worship. The second gives me how to worship. And the third is the practical application. Okay? The third is the working out of the first two. If you want to look at it that way. That's just kind of the way it impressed me. So you've got the three, and they're all related to God and His worship. And we learned in the second, God is very jealous for His worship. As to His worship, as to how we worship Him. Well, the third is just the practical outworking of that. Because if you're taking His name in vain, you certainly aren't worshiping Him as He expects and demands. You certainly aren't showing the reverence and the love for what God has done for you, for me, through Jesus Christ. If we're making light, if we are using His name in vain, are those things that relate to Him. Good. Okay. Anything else? All right. Oh, Malachi. And well, keep going.
Because it's very easy to say the words, to sing the songs, to think the thoughts, to talk the talk. But to do that without a proper reverence and a proper heart stance before our God is also taking His name in vain. So it cuts at religious hypocrisy.
And it certainly cuts at religious hypocrisy, and maybe not even carrying it that far. You know, there may be times that we come to church and we just aren't totally prepared. Now, we aren't trying to be hypocritical. We aren't trying to put on a show. We aren't trying to convince people that we're, some people might, but, I would like to think that the majority of the people that come to this church are not trying to impress anybody as such. But if we come and we worship in a manner less than what God requires of us, have we taken His name in vain? Certainly would seem so, wouldn't it? So I hope we get the impression of just how serious and how difficult. This commandment is not an easy commandment to keep. And not that any of them are for us who are fallen creatures saved by grace. But this one especially. And the more I looked at it, the more I said, what do I do with this commandment? Because again, as Malachi was pointing, this commandment goes so much at the heart. You can do all the external and break this commandment. You can do everything you ought to do and break this commandment because your heart's not in it. You're doing it for the wrong reason. And in doing so, you're taking the Lord's name in vain because you are saying, I don't need to keep this commandment because God expects me, has commanded me to do so. And the preface to the Ten Commandments comes into play here, obviously as to His position and some understanding of that. But I'm doing it for my, to satisfy my own conscience, whatever the reason may be. Yeah. Good. Yeah, that thought had crossed my mind as I was studying, coming to church. You could violate this commandment coming to church. Okay. And let me encourage, I'm talking to myself here, okay, but I'm encourage y'all as well. Be careful of the topics that you discuss with one another before, after the service. You know, yesterday's ball game. What happened this week? What's going to happen next week? You know, somebody you bumped into, the chance nothing wrong with those things in and of themselves. But how they then impact somebody's mindset, or even where it takes your mind as you're coming in to worship God. It's why even coming in and just giving yourself to a moment of silence and prayer or considering something from the Word, just at least a few minutes, pre-service prayer meeting, whatever it may be, it stills your heart and gets you before the Lord. Because, again, You don't want to start out, and the devil's going to do everything he can to get us our minds off of, to interfere. And have you found when you do, when you really come before the Lord with this the right attitude, that the service seems to have a greater blessing to your heart? I won't say that it always happens, but certainly, from my experience, I think it makes a difference when you're fully engaged. It makes a big difference. All right, let's take a look at question 112. Anything else? I don't want to. It's great, great discussion, great thoughts. Todd? The thing you have to do with the term vain, you always have to put it in the context of what you're comparing. Because for something to be vain, there's got to be a comparison. All right? So with the commandment, I mean, if you're comparing, to life, well, why is everything vanity? Because it's gone. So if you pour everything into something, in a few years, it's gone. Compared to eternal matters, it's just like smoke going up into the air. It's gone. When you see your breath come out, it's gone. when you're talking about taking the Lord's name in vain, now you are comparing what you should be doing, how you should be approaching the Lord's name, how you should think about it, compared to how you are. And in this case, as we've considered with the reading from the second chapter, here God is so far above us. He is our Creator. He's our Redeemer. He's the covenant God. I mean, you can just go on and on. He's sovereign. He's majestic. He's holy. Beyond our comprehension. And for us to in any way make light of God is really to simply display what we don't know or what we don't care about. Give you a, hang on one second, Pam, because I'll forget if I don't say one, and I hope you don't forget what you're thinking about. Stop and think, as in light of Scripture, stop and think what you think conversation will be like in heaven. Look at Revelation. Consider what Revelation tells you about conversation in heaven. And compare your conversation now to that. Might give you a little feel for what's vain and what's not. Pam? That certainly would be an outworking of it, because, again, the things that we consider common, I mean, we use common words in our language all the time. To then invoke the name of God into that common language certainly brings it down. It's a point I'm going to make here in just a few minutes as we draw to the end of our discussion today. But yes, I think vain does have that idea of a lesser, a lower degree than is otherwise what should be expected or attributed. Good. Anything else? Okay. Question 112, again, I'm on page 432. What is required in the third commandment? And some of this we've been talking about or talking around. But let's kind of go through this. And again, I'm not going to read all the proof texts and everything. You can do those things, and I hope you will. But we're going to talk about some of them or just touch on them. The answer, the third commandment requires that the name of God. Now, what follows is what is embodied in the name of God. All right? His titles. Well, certainly that would be in his name. What he's known by. Jehovah, Jesus, Christ, God. All right? The titles. Attributes. So now, the attributes of God, as far as the keeping of this commandment, come into play. The attributes, the ordinances, the Word, Scripture, what you do with it, how you use it. Stop and think, if you neglect the reading of the Bible, are you taking the Lord's name in vain? That's what this answer would suggest. The Word, sacraments, prayer, failure to pray, taking the Lord's name in vain? Yeah, things to think about, certainly. And we'll look at the proof text here. Sacraments, prayer, oaths, vows, lots, his works, and whatsoever else there is whereby he makes himself known. So that's what's in the name of God. Right? That requires that the name of God, after all the things that are embodied in that, we have be holily and reverently used. So that's how, in one sense, our the writers of the confession, that's how they are contrasting vain. To not be in vain is to be holily and reverently used. Right? If you think of it that way. In thought. Kind of goes to what Christ taught. If you've thought it, you've done it. So if we make light even in our thinking of the Lord's name, if we take it in vain, we can do that even in our thinking. You don't have to say something. In our thought, in our meditation, well, we'll come to this. In our meditation, in what we say, word here is what you say, and writing. That we do these things by an holy profession and answerable conversation to the glory of God and the good of ourselves and others. Okay? So, we can see by the answer here, the name of God is quite expansive. You ever hear somebody say, "I swear this is the truth"? That's an oath. All right. Courtrooms, you used to put your hand on the Bible and, "Do you solemnly swear to tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?" That's gone. Putting your hand on the Bible is gone in most. You do still raise your hand and are made to swear that you will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Period. All right? Now, what you're swearing that now is on penalty of perjury. All right. Before, it was a much higher standard. It was calling upon God to judge you if you lied. That was the ramification. Okay? But you see how some of these, we so easily. Now, I'm guilty. And I'm having to really stop and try to watch myself now. Bob?
If I perjure myself in court, even though I don't take God's name in the oath, is that my violation?
Well, you certainly are bearing false witness, aren't you? Right. So yes. And so if you've done that, you come back and you start, we start seeing how these commandments interact. How doing the one, if I lie, well, God is what? God is holy. God is all truth. So if I profess to be a Christian, I would be suggesting that I will tell the truth. And I've taken an oath to tell the truth. If I don't, yes, I think you could say, You violated the third commandment as well as others by taking the Lord's name in vain. Because certainly the Lord is holy. Good. Good. Anything else? Malachi?
Yeah, it's been occurring to me that a lot of this commandment too is really kind of aimed at not acting like an atheist.
That could be one. I'm not going to say that, again, that every instance, you know, is somebody thinking or from the heart of an atheist, right? Let me ask you this. We'll finish up here because my time's gone. And maybe it'll just be food for thought. Let me, that's what we'll do. We'll start next class with it. Give some thought. Why did God give this commandment? Now, again, how in essence, how do you see this commandment of benefit to you? Because certainly God doesn't give commandments for the whim of it. Just one more thing to do. So how is it beneficial? So give some thought to that. Because again, if the commandments aren't practical, then they're not going to do you any good. If you can't put it into practice, then what good is it going to do to you, for you, other than to judge you? And that's not going to do you any good. So give some thought to what it is about this commandment that and why God gave it. You ever wonder with the Lord's table why the words, "Do this in remembrance of me"? You ever wonder why the Lord need to tell us that? Well, because we so soon forget, don't we? It passes from our mind. We live our life without reference to it so much of the time. So the Lord says, hey, here's some things. We talked about it with the Lord's Day, with the seventh day in God's creation, which, by the way, being other than and the creation is seventh day, I think puts you in violation, certainly potentially. I'm no great theologian, but I certainly, in thinking about this, that to me would put you in violation of the third commandment. You want to take issue about how God created the earth, what he said, what he's revealed to us, then you arguably are making something less of God and certainly more of man. You know, all the stuff about astronomy and things, again, you can get into it so quickly in violation. All right, good. Well, some good discussion, and hopefully the Lord will use it. Because, again, I've just looked at this commandment. Maybe the reason I'm having such a hard time is I find myself just stopping and thinking, well, Tim Farr, how do you measure up? What have you done? What do you say? What's part of your conversation? How do you deal with these things? What do you say when somebody else uses the Lord's name in vain? Do you say anything? The Lord gives occasion especially. You know, it's a soul-searching commandment because, as I say, it's the practical application of the first two, I think. All right, let's pray. Father, we are grateful that you loved us and gave us these commandments for our good and your glory. Lord, may, as we consider this third commandment with all the commandments, but as we now are giving ourselves to the study of this commandment, may we come to an understanding of just how it is to be for our good, and may we keep it to your glory. Lord, we pray for the help of the Holy Spirit in taking your word and understanding it and then applying it. Lord, use us, we pray, to bring glory to your name and to further your kingdom. We pray now that you would bless us in the remainder of this time between the services, and then as we come to worship, Lord, may the things we've considered help us in our worship, Lord, in this coming hour and throughout the day, Lord, each day, as we would seek to worship thee, we pray that you would help us to do so in a manner that's pleasing to Thee. Be with our sister congregations today. Lord, bless Thy people. We pray, for we ask it in Christ's name. Amen.